you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
St. Xavier University is for students who want more out of their future. We pride ourselves on preparing graduates with the skills they need to succeed in life. Visit xxu.edu to start plotting your path to a brighter tomorrow. St. Xavier University, the best in you.
Welcome to the Other Center podcast presented by St. Xavier University. Always fortunate enough to be joined by our Bears insider, Josh Schrock. Follow him at Schrock_and_all. And my man, Alex Shapiro, follow him at Alex Shapiro NBCS. We are broadcasting live from the NBC Sports Studios, powered by PointsBet. And today, joining us from the Sun-Times sports reporter, we have Mark Potash, affectionately known as Potsy. How are you doing today, Mark?
I'm doing great. Ready for some football.
Are you? Yeah. The draft kind of drug us out pretty long. It was, we were tired after, I'm sure you were tired after the draft. And look, starting off right there with the draft and free agency, just for everyone that's listening or watching, what were your thoughts on the moves that that Poles and Eberflus have done so far?
I guess it was intentionally underwhelming. I mean, I think a lot of people thought there'd be bigger names and bigger players on both the draft and free agency. And I just think Poles is pretty patient, and I can't disagree with his tack, but he kind of did it his way with kind of a long view, looking ahead to next year. And enough interest, certainly some intriguing players, but, you know, so especially the defensive tackles, you know, that'll be what I'll be looking at tomorrow for sure. When we get out there for OTAs and just in general, some of these guys, you know, they took a fifth-round draft pick last year and made him a starter, and actually a pretty good starter, not just a guy who was starting because they were, you know, they needed help. So I'm intrigued by their ability to get players in the fourth and fifth rounds and maybe even the seventh round with Travis Bell. So as far as the offseason goes, just in general, I just thought they're, you know, they couldn't help but improve their roster, and it'll be interesting to see if they did.
You mentioned the patience with Poles. Would you have went about it in a different manner as far as maybe interjected more money into free agency or making other moves in the draft?
Well, I probably would have, but I probably would be out of a job if I were a GM in the NFL, because I you know, like a lot of people on the outside, it's you always think you have the right idea. So yeah, I would have jumped at bigger names, but you know, these guys are anything, if anything, they are scheme specific. So if you don't fit, you are not a fit. And so I can't disagree with that tech. So I would have, but you know, but just like my fantasy team, it might have all gone bust.
Posse, you and I talk, I feel like, every day at the media center about how, even though the Bears were really bad last year, it was still exciting to watch and go to work every day because of how much Justin progressed. I'm curious just your take on the support system that Ryan Poles put around Justin this offseason and if it's enough for them to get a full read this season.
I think it's enough for them to expect to get a full read. I mean, I think it will be better a year from now, but it, you know, let's put it this way, where it was last year was it would have been a tough deal to make a decision based on that. I think they have enough now. Offensive line, tight ends, wide receiver, all the way around, and especially also second year of the coaching of the offense. I think they definitely have enough to at least know a year from now whether Justin Fields is the guy. And kind of looking ahead or taking this a step further, I think that's going to be the biggest key to this season, is avoiding getting into that $35 million a year Daniel Jones contract, you know, status without any real hard proof that this is your guy. So I think Fields is going to be, his progress this year is going to be, it's going to be a huge decision. I think it's going to be a big thing to watch. The biggest thing to watch, just like last year, only with a little different dynamic this year.
Potsy, you're one of the most experienced and, you know, trusted voices on the Bears beat, frankly. And as such, you know, you've seen a whole lot of quarterbacks come through Chicago, you know, high excitement guys like Jay Cutler. I'll throw in, you know, Rex Grossman, even Mitch Trubisky. I'm curious for you, though, is there anything that feels a little bit different about Justin Fields that, you know, those other guys weren't bringing to the table? Or for you, is it still wait and see because, you know, Bears fans have been excited about a lot of quarterbacks and a lot of quarterbacks have not gotten the job done in Chicago?
Well, yeah, it's funny, Alex. At the last or 2 years ago when he was when Fields first came in, at first blush, you just tell this was a different animal than Mitch Trubisky. He was definitely a step up. And so there is I have a different feeling in that regard. But big picture wise, no, I really don't. I don't think we don't really know what Justin Fields is. This is not like, what's a good example? Like a Justin Herbert, you know, after his first year, maybe he wasn't, you know, he was good, but not great, but at least he showed everything that he could do. And you knew that he would take the next step. And it was just a matter of time. We really don't know that about Fields. We don't know just how accurate he'll be with the deep ball or just how good he'll be in a good passing offense. And it's not necessarily his fault, but we just don't know that. And frankly, we still don't know if he has the it factor. Is he the guy who can will a performance the best performance out of players, out of his teammates? And that's a huge key. That's what takes you from the Daniel Jones level, you know, playoff team to the Patrick Mahomes level playoff victory, key playoff victories. And we really don't know that about, I mean, we hear that about him, but we don't really know that. And that's one reason why they're in the position they are, because, you know, they couldn't win the close games. They're going to have to win them this year, and it's going to have to be because of Fields. But to answer your question, no, I don't think we really have enough tangible proof right now that he is the guy on two levels, passing in the passing game, and also for lack of a better way of putting it, just the it factor of being the guy who could put a team on his shoulders and carry him across the finish line.
If you were leaning either way, would you lean towards him being more like Daniel Jones? Or I won't say Justin Herbert, because right now Justin Herbert's a freak.
Yeah,
he's really good.
And also we have like one of the biggest Justin Herbert fans ever sitting in between us, man. Here.
What are you gonna
but
do?
Potsy, are you leaning either way just from some of the progression? So what were your thoughts last year watching Fields from where he had the run and where the offense at first was struggling? And how much of that do you put on Justin and how much do you put on Luke Getsy?
Well, I'll be honest, I didn't make a whole lot of it except just the athleticism. It was just that. It really didn't, to me, it didn't tell us a whole lot about how well he can play quarterback. Frankly, because I don't understand the nuances of the position enough to know exactly how what he did on the ground would affect him as far as, you know, as a passer. He was running and he's a good athlete and stuff like that. So I just think we just have not seen enough to know exactly what kind of quarterback. And I just don't want to say, oh, he's going to be the greatest this or that, because I just don't think we have enough evidence. All we know is that, yes, he can be, and Getsy is key. You know, it's just like, you know, Daniel Jones, I'm kind of down on him, but he's still going to be pretty good because he has Brian Daboll there, and that's going to keep him afloat, and I think he'll do well there. But yeah, I'll be honest. I know I'm kind of stammering here because I just really don't know how to answer it, because I don't know exactly what direction he's going to go. And I don't want to say, well, because he's a great athlete, because he's better than Mitch Trubisky, he's going to be the answer. I think that's why this is like a total X factor coming into this year.
Potsy, you mentioned that when we go to Hallis for OTAs, you're going to have your eyes on the defensive tackles. So what was your thought on the draft class outside of Darnell Wright? Because I think we're all in agreement that Darnell Wright is going to be a good player and that's a good addition.
Well, you know, I really don't know, because I was looking up, they didn't get guys who I think who were going to, the mock drafts had, and I'm not, they're not always right, but the mock drafts had a lot of those guys like where they were at or lower. Like they didn't, I don't know. It was really hard to tell. They got a lot of, anytime they say they're going for athleticism, what's right. That athletic metric they're using?
RAS.
Relative athletic
score.
Yep.
That, I'll be honest, I guess that's my just my cynicism coming into play here, because NFL guys have been looking for athletes
Yes.
For a long time. And they always harp on athleticism. And then before you know it, you have a bunch of guys who, you know, who look like Tarzan and play like Jane, which the Bears have had, you know, the Bears have had their share of. I'm not saying that they're wrong to do that, but I'm just saying that seems like an old thing, like an old trope, you know, in the NFL. Let's get athletes. And that's what they got. But the two guys I like are, and they got two guys in particular who are intriguing in Dexter and Pickens, because they're what I call Z pattern guys. They're guys who in high school were top 10 guys. One was, I think it was Dexter was rated ahead of Jalen Carter, and Pickens was rated ahead of Trevon Walker in high school. Then in college, they not quite as they're good, but not as impactful as maybe people thought they would be. But the expectations are that they will be even better in the pros. And I think that's really intriguing. But that's also kind of a recipe for disappointment historically. I don't know, Tyreek Stevenson, he was not on my radar at all, and I'm not a draft nick, so I have to admit I'm not as well-informed. Roschon Johnson, he sounds like a kind of a typical hype guy. When you really need someone to talk about, it's easy to fall in love with a guy like that. If he's as good as they say, that's, you know, obviously that'll be big for them. And my favorite is Tyler Scott. I just like a guy who has speed, but also at a young age has an appreciation for the nuances of the position, how to get open, how to use things beside your speed to get open and be good. Kind of like a Darnell Mooney type, only maybe even faster. I don't know. So he's intriguing to me, and some of the other guys are, you know, Travis Bell, I guess is interesting because mainly because Poles just loves him so much. Boy, you talk about a love story. It's with the guy being infatuated. It'll be interesting to see that. So outside, I can't really put a label on what they did outside of Wright, to tell you the truth, just that hopefully they know more about these guys than I do.
You touched on it a little bit when you were talking about Tyler Scott, but, you know, I want to go in more on your healthy cynicism for athletic scores, because, you know, I think that's smart, honestly. You know, a lot of guys test really, really well and people become infatuated with them because of their combine numbers. Doesn't always translate to success. And I think we saw that with Aditamu Adebare, right? Yeah. Everybody was like, wow, this guy's testing through the roof. He's going to go this, that, and the other thing. Meanwhile, everybody knows, he's going to follow. He's going to be a
good, good in underwear, not in pads.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. There's always that good in underwear, but not in pads. So I'm curious, what's the Mark Potash just ideal NFL draft, like prospect coming in? Like, what are you looking for where you're saying, this is a guy I'm really interested in coming into the NFL?
Well, it's hard for me to say because I just don't know enough about what it takes, you know, about football. I'm an it factor guy. I'm an eye test guy. Mm-hmm. I like guys who just have some kind of, as I guess we're talking more, when you talk about that, it's mostly about quarterbacks, but, some guys who just have something special. I'm a big Joe. You guys are big. You're Justin Herbert guy. I'm a big Joe Burrow guy. I think they are opposite ends of the spectrum. I think one guy makes his team better and will take his team over the top. The other guy is Philip Rivers. And that's just, that's just my opinion. So I like a guy like Burrow, who is a guy who just seems to be, things always seem to happen for him. He always, guys like Aaron Rodgers who just have something about them that puts a defense on its heels and makes you play stupid. And those are mostly quarterback attributes, but just in general, I like guys, I'm the kind of guy who will fall in love with a Jack Sanborn. He's an undrafted guy, but he's a football gene guy. I love football gene guys. That's probably that's the best way to answer it. I love football gene guys, guys who just have a knack for the ball, who know how to play, guys who know how to angle their body to avoid, maybe guys who are not as offensive guys, who are not as elusive, but they know how to angle their body just enough to avoid a tackle and just have kind of a sense of the game. And so those are hard to find. I will say this, though, with regard to the athletic scores and stuff like that, I think when you match it up with the Bears' just absolute love for scheme fit, which is another one of my pet things, but I don't understand it as much, so that's why I'm a little cynical about that. But when you match up athleticism with scheme fit, I think that gives you a chance because to hit rather than miss. And I think that's the interesting thing, because these guys, Poles and Eberflus, they're big on both. They're big on scheme fit. They're big on athleticism. So if they know what fits, I think it can work. And that's why I would, if you're going to say, yeah, and I like I'm an old guy and a cynic, but if you were to say, am I more hopeful or cynical, I'd say more hopeful with this group at this stage, just because of that, because I think they can match up the athleticism with mm-hmm. what they want. Sometimes that inhibits you because you stay away from a guy who, like I said, when we were talking at one of the press conferences, you know, theoretically, like a guy like Roquan, you know, that he's supposed to transcend scheme, right? He shouldn't be a scheme fit guy. Right. Why can't you win with him? You know, that's what kind of an upgrade is that? Is Edmonds really a pound for pound upgrade over Roquan? No, he's absolutely not. In this scheme, maybe he is. And so I guess I'm hoping or guessing that these guys are so infatuated with it and so set at it that if they can marry those two factors, athletic score and scheme fit, they'll find the right guys. That's another thing. You know, that's what this season is all about.
Yeah.
Huddle up because it's time to feel the power with PointsBet. PointsBet is giving better 60 days of bonus bets now through the end of May as part of PointsBet's Power Hour. Check the app every day when your bonus bet is dropping and use it on the same game parlay. Download the PointsBet app today using the code SHYTALK10 and unleash the power of winning PointsBet. Your move right now, the Under Center podcast. We're fortunate enough to have Sun-Times writer Mark Potash with us. Follow him at Mark Potash. Let me ask you this, Mark. Getting back to the draft, what were your thoughts on them not drafting Jalen Carter when he was such a scheme fit, but of course he had so many red flags coming out of Georgia?
Yeah, that was the interesting thing. And I'll be honest, I was like, I kind of wanted him. I didn't want to have to write all the stories about all the, you know, all his travails or whatever, but I still think they made the right move. Because just the way the draft kind of played out, you know, if they wanted Carter, they shouldn't have traded down that far. So I guess they really didn't, you know, they weren't really high on him to begin with, I guess. But anyway, I think the way the draft played out with, you know, defensive tackles being more depth of defensive tackles in the second round, they couldn't have got, you know, if they would have taken a defensive tackle in the first round and an offensive tackle in the second round, I don't think they would have been as well off as they are now. Unless Jalen Carter turns into Aaron Donald, then maybe that changes that equation. But so I guess what I'm saying is I would have done it, but I still think they did the right thing. You know, they know more about it than I do. So I think in retrospect, I'm on board with what they did, with the way they handled it. I just don't like, it's funny how they don't care about the kind of the image of letting him go to a guy who can make them look the worst for passing on him. You know, they basically sent him to the Eagles, and I know Poles doesn't care about it. They probably thought they were doing their buddy a favor in Philly, but that could potentially make them look really bad, because that guy in that environment and in that defense can be great immediately. And you say, well, they shouldn't worry about that. But, you know, sometimes that plays a factor. I mean, if Mahomes goes to the Cleveland Browns, that doesn't look so bad. That doesn't look as bad as it does, right? I mean, right. Mahomes going to the Chiefs, the exact perfect team, is what made the Trubisky era look so bad. And I'm not saying that's why Pace was fired, but I'm just saying it made them look bad. So that was the other factor there in the Jalen Carter situation, is that he's got a team now where he can really be a big hit, and that's going to be, you know, we're all going to be measuring that, right, in the next few years, just, you know, what they could have gotten and what they got.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match.
Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Potsy, it's admittedly probably still too early to judge the Chase Claypool trade, but I just want your thoughts on the decision to trade what ended up being the number 32 overall pick and almost certainly a really good edge rusher for Chase Claypool, and whether or not you think Claypool is in the Bears' long-term plans.
Well, that's to be determined. My guess is that he's not. I mean, I think that's a pretty – there's a reason why they got DJ Moore, right? I don't know. I'm not sold on as you know, Josh, you know, I'm not sold on Claypool. I think he's got diva written all over him from the moment – I always say the moment we walked into that locker room, where was it in? Was it the Jets game, I think, in New York? We walked in, and he had made – he had had that big – dust up or little dust up on the sideline, and he we're walking in the locker room, he's walking out. Yeah. I just don't think that's really good accountability, and that's the kind of that and the fact that he just, you know, he wasn't very effective early just made me think like, wow, I'm dubious of this, of whether this is going to work out. So I don't know. I'm not sure exactly where he fits in. He's got a lot to prove in a lot of ways. For one thing, I think one of the reasons why he didn't do as well in Pittsburgh is because he wasn't the number one guy anymore. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy who likes to be the number one guy, even though he doesn't say it. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to be the number one guy here. Mm-hmm. I don't think he is, right? Is he?
No, it's DJ Moore. Yep.
Right. Yeah, he's not going to. So he's going to have to play a role that I don't think he's really going to be happy playing, frankly. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not I'll be surprised if Chase Claypool works out in Chicago. Let's put it that way. What do you guys think?
I 100% agree with you. I think you and I've had this talk like five times in the locker room. It's hard to see it working out.
Yeah. From what you've seen so far, no, you would hope that perhaps he can turn around, but if you're going off of last year, this was a bad trade.
He has to get better, but he has to adjust his mindset, you know, his thinking, like
expectations of himself.
Right. I think he's going to have to be happy being, being in a role that he is not really what he wants to do. So I'll be surprised if it works out, and we'll see, but that's going to be a challenge. That's going to be a challenge for them fitting him in. That'll be on Getsy. That'll be interesting to see how they work that out.
Well, if he has common sense, this is his best bet to get paid if he really wants to get
like
paid.
Actual paid.
Get paid. Because he's already fallen a rung anyway.
Not get juju'd.
Yeah. So that's a great point.
Right.
So because that's where you'll end up.
Yep.
You're absolutely right about that. And he's a sharp enough guy. He understands it. I think he understands that. But I think from what I've seen, wide receivers, sometimes no matter how much they want to do it, they can't. Mm-hmm. They can't play that role. They can't be subservient. They can't, you know, it's just hard. It's those guys, it's an ego-driven position. It's like I said, I mean, diva is not necessarily a bad thing. It's, on a bad team, it is. It's workable. And I'm not saying he is that. I'm just saying he's got those qualities. And sometimes it's natural to the position, that whole ego thing. And well, I guess my point is, like, even if you want to, sometimes you just can't. And that's why a lot of receivers, some hit it big and others miss just as big.
We'll see. I want to ask you about your impressions, thoughts on Matt Nagy versus Matt Eberflus, because Nagy was this guy who was, you know, like good vibes only, club dub, offensive guru, and we're going to do all these funky trick plays, all these crazy offensive things to get this team going. Matt Eberflus is almost the opposite guy, it seems. You know, it is all hits program. It is staying level-headed, no club dub or anything like that. And instead of doing crazy things on defense, we are going to play simple defense, and we're going to do it really, really well. We're going to do all the fundamentals, and we're going to do the techniques perfectly. And I'm not saying, you know, they don't do complicated things on defense, but you know, compared to Matt Nagy, it maybe feels a little bit more vanilla. So your thoughts on that transition of going from Matt Nagy to Matt Eberflus, and then the future of the Bears with Matt Eberflus's hits program and the way he's running things now?
I guess the interesting thing about both those guys is that what they came here for, they both have yet. We've yet to see what they came here for. You know, the big Nagy's big flaw was that, you know, he was supposed to build an offense and he just couldn't work with this quarterback and he couldn't make an offense out of it. That's what he was here for. And that was if there was one disappointment last year, even though they did kind of tank and clear the decks is I expected his defense to be even better, much better than it was for the first year. That was kind of disappointing to me. And I know that wasn't a great situation personnel wise, but you know, his defense was that I didn't see them get a lot of out of the hits principle. I didn't see them get a lot of, you know, get what they're supposed to. So I guess what I'm saying is I think he has as much to prove in year two as Matt Nagy had to prove just in general, coming into this year. So we got to wait and see. And then, you know, you also, when you have the defensive coach now, if Justin Fields, blows up this year and has become something or is a guy you want to keep, you're going to lose Getsy. And now you got to do that all over again. That was the big advantage of Nagy, right? Mm-hmm. That if he turns Trubisky into a winner, at least he's going to have his coach. Just like I was talking about the Dable and Daniel Jones situation. So yeah. There's also that to consider success is going to be present challenges. But I do like, I mean, I like Eberflus. He's he seems kind of brand X to me personality wise. But this year we'll see. Just how much? I think I remember asking that last year. Did you get through to your guys like you thought you would? Because it didn't seem to me like he did. But maybe that's a personnel situation, and that's what year two is. Again, I keep going back to the same theme. That's what year two is all about. It's a proving ground for Matt Nagy too. So I'm not. Let's put it this way: I don't think they're at opposite ends of the spectrum, Nagy and Eberflus. I think one looks better because the other was just bad.
I hope
at this point I'm not disparaging him.
I pray they're at the opposite end of the spectrum when it's all said and done.
Well, that's what you think, but it's not like he had this great defense, like Fangio defense, that you could say, well, at least he got his side of the ball right. But he didn't do that. But again, they had a different idea. They had a long-term plan. And I'm in favor of that. Winning three games with Justin Fields looking like he could be a quarterback, I think it was a best-case scenario for the Bears. So, and it worked out. So we'll see what happens. So I guess what I'm saying is there's nothing really definitive about anything with the Bears, and Eberflus is included in that.
I want to ask about the trenches, starting with edge rusher, since they couldn't improve that with, speaking of that 32nd pick right there, yeah. You inferred. What are your thoughts on what they should do with edge rusher and also flip into the offensive line? How do you mass up this offensive line now since they've brought in players through free agency and the draft? And why do they keep jerking around Tevin Jenkins? This was a personal. I had to throw that.
Yeah. Well, the edge rusher thing, I'm not sure. I guess the one thing I hope they don't make a move that looks good or a player that looks good on paper. I mean, even a guy like Chase Young, that would be, great. What is he, number two pick or whatever? You know, he's played 12 games in the last 2 years. I mean, he's coming off an injury. I mean, there's a lot of guys like that on the street that are going to look better than they actually might be. And in this defense, the defensive ends aren't all that productive. It's really the defensive tackles that make it go. They're right about that. So I guess what I'm saying is I hope they don't just throw money at something just to kind of, because it's perceived as a whole. I don't think they will do that. I think they'll add somebody, but I think like everything else, it'll be at their price. So I think they'll do that. As far as offensive line, I think it's better. I don't know. It's so hard to say. I think the key to the offensive line, you'll believe it or not, I think is Braxton Jones. Mm-hmm. I think he's got to be. You talk about Darnell Wright. He's more of a sure thing. He's, as far as I'm concerned, Braxton Jones has to be a big upgrade for them. And even though he was pretty good, but like I've said this many times, you know, he's pretty good for a fifth round pick. This year, he's just got to be good. And that's, they've got to, if they're going to leave him at left tackle, that's going to be huge. They're also putting a lot of faith in Chris Morgan. His star has risen just in the offseason in general. Mm-hmm. And his ability to get to put these guys, you know, they always say that it's the cliche. We'll play the best five. We'll get the best five. That's their stock answer. And so it's kind of up to him to put these things together. And, you know, you guys know it better than I do. You know, offensive line is an interesting thing. It's a team within a team. And sometimes you can have, if you need the right combination as much as you need a certain level of personnel. So I'm going to wait and see on that too, but I think they're better off. But Tevin Jenkins, that's interesting. He's also was, he was injured at the end of last year too. I mean, I'm assuming he's healthy the way they're talking about him, right. But now he's going to the left side. Will that be an issue?
Right.
I don't know. He acclimated himself pretty well to guard on the right side. Maybe he'll do the same. I think overall, what I'm saying is, I think they'll be better. I'm buying the Chris Morgan hype. I may regret it, but I always fall for it. But I'm buying the Chris Morgan hype that he's the guy who can. That now he's got something to work with. I think he made a legitimate fifth round pick starter, not just a guy like I said who was there just because they had nothing, even though they had very little. I like that. So I think their offensive line, I think will be, I think they have something to work with. And I think there's potential there, but I think there's a lot of improvement needed, and they need Darnell Wright to be a legitimate NFL right tackle in his first year. And again, that goes by, he wasn't like the best tackle on anybody's board, right? I don't think, maybe yours, Josh, weren't you big on him?
Yeah,
definitely Josh's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But there were other options, and they picked the guy they supposedly wanted. And so, again, we'll see just how smart they are as far as getting the right guys for their scheme.
Is Chris Morgan the most important man in Hal's Hall right now?
No. It has to be. For me, it would be Eberflus and Allen Williams. That defense, I feel like, because they have more they have more on the offense. Of course, Justin Fields has to work it out. But I feel like defensively, they have to get it together with a defensive head coach. Just my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Morgan essentially made the draft pick, Kenneth.
All right, my bad.
I hope he did. I mean, he's supposed to know what he's doing. So I think that's the guy you'd want. And he knows what he's putting this together. So really, that's the one area where you'd want him to make the pick, because that's, like I said, they're a team within a team. That's their own group. So you kind of want that, right?
Yep.
You got anything, Josh?
No, I'm good.
All right, I just got one more question for you, Potsy. You're one of my favorite follows on Twitter. You bring something fresh and new to my timeline that I just love. So I want to know, where do you draw your Twitter inspiration? Where does that energy come from when you send your tweets out to the Twitter sphere?
Mostly just age, I think, and being crotchety and just cynical and stuff like that. And so I don't know. I just like to have fun. I always say, being on Twitter, to me, I know, even though everyone knows who I am, I feel like I'm the guy in like the Philly Fanatic costume, you know, where you can just kind of show your personality without anybody really seeing you, even though people see you, I know it, but I just feel like it's a totally different persona for me. And so I just like to have fun with it. And I've reached the point now where I like kind of don't care. Don't worry about it. Cause if you can, it's easy to get in trouble on Twitter, you know, but I just kind of just have fun. I hope people realize that most of the time I'm joking. I probably lost more friends than I've gained on it, but I don't know. But anyway, that's just me just having fun.
It is fun. I appreciate it. I think it is very fun.
Thank you.
All right. We appreciate you joining us. Also, keep holding their feet to the fire. We enjoy your press conferences, your questions in press conferences. And we hopefully will see you down the line this season. Oh, you know what? Real quick, and let's make this short. What record-wise, what's a successful season for the Bears for Mark Potash?
I think any record they have where Justin Fields is their guy is good. And so I think that 8-9, 9-8. I think, and that's partially because of the way Poles is going about this, and that he didn't get Will Anderson or Jalen Carter. He didn't sign Orlando Brown. He didn't get the best of everything. He's playing. It's a long game for him. And as long as he's doing that, I think if they just take the next step, I think whether it's 8-9, 9-8, that's fine. As long as Fields is still standing at the end, just like last year. And also as long as Fields is the offense is taking the next step without losing Getsy.
You follow Mark Potash.
It's a real
Mark
trick. It's a fine line. They're threading a fine line again. So you got to be just good enough, but not too good. So otherwise, who knows? But I don't know. But anyway, well, I just think, yeah, isn't that what everybody, is that legit, or is everyone thinking
they're legit games? That's where we're at.
That's legit.
All right. You can follow him at Mark Potash, and make sure you check out his articles with the Chicago Sun-Times. You can check this episode and other episodes out at 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday. Shout out Wesley Falls the show. Subscribe like he does wherever you get your podcasts. And we always appreciate it. Thanks, Potsy.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.